Coming up on American Parlor Songbook, join us for a show recorded in San Bernardino, California. We'll examine punchlines on an episode about comedy with comedian John Pate and music from folk duo Lawrence and Claire.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The setup.
The setup who?
I'm not sure. I haven't figured out the punchline yet.
You know, aren't knock-knock jokes old hat? What about something self-referential and meta? You know, really bring the show into the 90s.
But it's almost the 20s again.
So, seltzer bottles and one-liners.
No, this is public radio. Seltzer bottles are wet, and it has to be dry as a bone.
How about a self-referential knock-knock joke about a clown with no seltzer bottle? No punchline, just knock-knock, and then a long, dry narration about a slice of modern Americana.
So, Ira Glass.
In clown shoes.
Sold.
From the KVCR studios in San Bernardino, California, this is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston!
Hey, thank you, folks. And on the other microphone, when she tells me I'm funny, she always mutters, looking under her breath, Julie Van Dusen. Comedy, humor, wit, satire, farce, the art of the punchline, a clever turn of phrase, a subtle irony, a good fall down a flight of stairs. Laughing is necessary to human existence, which is why I tend to disappear after every attempt at a joke. But I digress. Obviously, I don't know what digress means. Where was I, right? We need it, right? We need to laugh. We have to LOL in the face of tragedy. We have to Rolf to get us through, right? And most importantly, we need to laughing emoji with two tears if we're going to deal with the cold, hard world around us. So please, feel free to let it out. LOL, even if we don't deserve it. Whatever you do, don't LMFAO or we'll get an FCC fine. It starts with a twitch at the side of your lips. Something's working. Under your ribs start to tickle a bit, now you're smirking. Smile starts to take, your paunch starts to quake, and up from your belly you finally go and break. Now the first joke ever told was a pun, which was really amazing because there was only like 6 words at the time. But interestingly enough, 2 of them were duck. And it's still funny to this day, if you throw a duck at someone and say duck. That's true. These days, though, you can really amp it up. You can sneak up behind them with a goose. But that's a whole other story altogether. But yet you have to figure that cavemen were telling jokes, right? That life was difficult, and they were naked, like, all the time. So it was funny. Probably a lot of slapstick and pull-my-finger sort of stuff. But, you know, they had to laugh, too, right? I'm sure they probably weren't sophisticated, but neither is laughter. It's unconscious, it's automatic, built from birth. You don't believe me, walk up and make a sound on a baby's belly and they'll laugh, right? It's just built in. A baby you know, not just a strange baby. Make sure you know the baby, that should be clarified. Anyway, it's unconscious, they laugh, right? You can't decide to laugh. We'll try it now. See if the listeners at home can distinguish a fake laugh from a real laugh. I'll tell a joke that's not at all funny. I promise there's absolutely no punchline. This isn't an expectation turn here. There really is no punchline. You guys have to pretend to laugh, and we're going to see how it sounds, right? Zero finish, no punchline. Laugh like it's funny. A hearty fake laugh. Are you ready? I'm ready. All right. Guy swims up to a poolside bar and asks for a mint julep. Okay, that's a little funny. He asks for a mint julep, but guy swims up to a poolside bar and he asks for a mint julep. The bartender says, a mint julep? Yeah, did I stutter? A mint julep. All right, the bartender says, a mint julep. Rolls his eyes, mint julep. On the rocks or in your face? Guy says, both. The bartender puts ice in it and throws it at his face. And he misses by a mile. Right? Throws it at his face. Let's try it again. And he misses by a mile. Pretty good. I think some of you might be sociopaths. starts with a twitch at the side of your lips. Something's working. Under your ribs start to tickle a bit. Now you're smirking. A smile starts to take. Your paunch starts to quake. And up from your belly you finally go and break. It's not all about bloopers and practical jokes, though. No, there are more sophisticated forms of comedy. The highbrow, the morbid, the dry, dry wit of your average NPR weekend show. So dry that 5 minutes into Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me you need eye drops and a Gatorade. So dry that you have to fire up the local desalinization plant. As sociopaths, give me a laugh there. It wasn't funny, but they can't all be winners. So. There's irony, like, for example, that this monologue about comedy isn't funny at all. And that's hilarious, so it cancels itself out, right? Yeah, it starts with a twitch at the side of your lips. Something's working. Under your ribs start to tickle a bit. Now you're smirking. A smile starts to take. Your paunch starts to quake. And up from your belly you finally go and break. Now, most of our modern comedy has its roots in vaudeville. Your sitcoms, your stand-up. Those paper hat-wearing tap dancers, jugglers, and lollipop kid acts of vaudeville, well, they basically laid the foundation for all modern comedy. The formats, the rhythms, the structure, even the language, the terminology. You know, everything we say is shtick, punchline, slapstick, deadpan. Deadpan. Famously, there was a failed vaudeville-era comedian, Hammy Greenberg, and he never quite hit the big time because, well, he couldn't play deadpan. Died penniless in 1937, couldn't deadpan. Well, he's really good at it now. Which leads me to gallows humor, right? Dark jokes, where you shouldn't go, but you do, because it's fun. Ben Franklin had a good one, this is true. He famously said, in order for three people to keep a secret, two of them have to be dead. Then he promptly murdered the other two guys who discovered electricity. Maybe that's the closest answer, right? What it's for, why we laugh, the absurdity of it all. All this pomp and circumstance, as if we matter, when in the end we all just end up a hilarious bag of bones in a pile of dirt. That's a little dark, I guess, so maybe it makes us feel better in the face of it, like if we laugh after a good scare or, you know, a simple throwaway line can just lighten up a tense situation. Well, I'm not sure. Back to those babies, right? The unconscious laughter. Seems simpler than that. So maybe we just use comedy in those tense situations, you know? Take advantage of what's built in as a tool. Maybe laughter is a little trick woven into the fabric of the universe. A little tickle in the stars. A hilarious infinity. It's tough to gain command of that. To figure out how to tickle the funny bone on command. I do know that the funniest people work at it. The science of comedy. The science, honing their craft, bombing until they hit it. The science of comedy. I did try my hand at stand-up. So much structure to wrap your head around. It's difficult. I just gave up and went on the radio to ramble nonsense and sing in between so it seems like it's on purpose. I did get one break, though. I got a break doing a corporate gig at a resort. Tough crowd. They had me on a little stage outside by the hot tub. Drunk, wet executives. Stand-up is hard enough in front of a brick wall, never mind a tiki hut. Up there warming up the audience, lay out that scenario. Let the audience make an assumption, take a beat, turn the expectation, laugh, tag it, weak laugh, throw in a saver, no laugh at all. I got nervous and I tried to close on one of the most advanced comedic methods, the callback, reference an earlier bit at the end of the routine. I went for it, but it was a total disaster. I got booed off the stage and then, out of nowhere, I got hit straight in the face with a stray mint julep. So we're going to see if we can't have some fun this week. Some sketches, story or two, maybe some songs. Stick around, or we'll have to use the canned laughter.
Starts with a twitch at the side of your lips. Something's working. Under your ribs start to tickle a bit. Now you're smirking. A smile starts to take, your paunch starts to quake, and up from your belly you finally go and try. try to resist, but it's not gonna pass. You finally go and laugh.
Our musical guests this week are a talented duo out of Idlewild, California. Ladies and gentlemen, Lawrence and Claire.
Thank you. All right, we're going to play you a song now about the good English tradition that made its way down under to Australia, where I'm from. And it's a song called Milk and Honey.
If you're feeling down, you shouldn't sit alone. Invite a friend around and put on the kettle. Milk and honey for two. Just be free, forget your money. I'll be your loose leaf if you, I'll be my honey. Milk and honey for me. If it's gray, let's make it sunny. We'll be feeling great if we're drinking some milk and honey, cause I like it in the morning, I like it in the night. I want some honey tonight. Feeling wired, just unwind and sit down by the fire. Ooh, milk and honey for you. If it's gray, let's make it sunny. We'll be feeling great if we're drinking some milk and honey, cause I like it in the morning, I like it in the night. I want some honey. If it's gray, let's make it sunny. We'll be feeling great if we're drinking some milk and honey, cause I like it in the morning, I like it in the night. I want some honey tonight.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
From our brand new studio under siege in Toad Suck, Arkansas, this is Info Revolution with Aaron White.
Welcome to the Truth, America. I'm Aaron White. Put on your MAGA hats, patriots. I'm backing up a tanker full of juicy conspiracies, and you are about to get hosed in your stupid face. Non-believers need not apply. You're wrong, and we are alt-right. It's time, sheeple. They're coming for our guns. It's time to head on over to our web store for the new collection from Alpha Force. When the Flat Earth elite come knocking to take away your guns, kindly show them your framed copy of the Second Amendment and welcome them inside, because there's no need to worry when your weapons are safely disguised as ordinary leftist household items. That pretentious wine opener on the subway tile counter, no, that is a single-shot pocket pistol. The pound of artisan dough in your solar-powered pasta maker, you guessed it, pure military-grade C4. They'll think that they're at their transgendered book club inside a tiny house when they stare blankly right at that bazooka designed to look exactly like an illegal immigrant. The new invisible stockpile from Alpha Force in your web store now. And get your socks on, people, and put them on your chair and move into a new house, because what my next guest has to say is liable to knock your socks off your chair and blow the roof off the place. Hang on to your Make America Great Again underwear, people. It's an exclusive, ladies and gentlemen, here in the bunker, and I wouldn't have believed it myself if I didn't see it through my own two crossed eyes. Former First Lady, Secretary of State, and presidential candidate Hillary Clinton. Crooked Hillary, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Aaron. It is a pleasure to be here talking to you and all of the other patriots listening in their trailer park at home.
Come here to slum, I suppose, to push your neoliberal corporate agenda onto the so-called deplorables.
No, Aaron, adorables. So,
we may have some kind of pod people situation here, people. Be on high alert.
I wanted to come here directly to announce to the real American people my candidacy for 2020.
Sound the alarms, Alt Nation. It might be time to take up arms.
Oh, yes. Oh, Aaron, we will take up all of the arms. There's going to be no new taxes, and we are going to defund Planned Parenthood.
Definitely a pod person situation here, people.
Yeah. I am ready to do whatever it takes to be your next president. Hot sauce, a comb over. I'll do an affair with a porn star. Anything.
Don't fall for it, Keck Nation. Hold strong.
Let's see, a dirty coal, fracking, about little tiny guns for little tiny babies. We are going to build a wall around Burning Man and make the hippies pay for it.
Well, she's a lizard, people. Turn her out. Don't listen.
How about this, Aaron? We build a wall around New York City and I get to be queen.
Emergency station break, people. We have to get out of here.
I just want to be president.
Then we'll be right back with more nonsense.
I think it's about time we heard another song from Lawrence and Claire.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Lay heavy head, I try to get out of bed.
next to Ahab again. My old familiar friend. My thoughts are on fire and my heavy head. Fresh into your pillows, Lord, down your mind. Breathe out your doubt. Everything will be
information about our musical guest on their website, lawrenceandclaire.com. Let's have another song from Lawrence and Claire.
Here's a song about life before love.
You can snap along.
Well, I used to walk down to the park all alone and see the couples all have a good time.
Oh, I saw that everybody found their happiness. I never thought that I would get mine.
I threw sticks and stones at those happy homes and never sang no happy tune. But now I'm happy to say I'm changing my ways ever since I met the likes of you. I was the most bitter person on this big old earth, and I used to lie like a rug.
I thought that love was a joke when all those people spoke about romance as some kind of drug.
But now I'm very well sedated and my vision's fading. The only one I see is you. So suffice it to say I'm changing my ways ever since I met the likes of you. Driving by my side,
I'm feeling light as a feather just reading your letter about how our universes collide.
I'm crying, Lord up above, can all this love be true? I've been waiting for it all of my days. Well, needless to say, I'm changing my ways ever since I met the likes of you. Well, as the days move along, I'll still be singing a song about flying off and growing old. You'll always be my songbird, and our love will grow stronger and we'll watch our story unfold. Folks will always ask us about the days gone past us and all the things we used to do. It's like I always say, changed all my ways ever since I fell in love with you.
Thank you.
Thank you. out there somewhere, down inside the landfill mountains, layers deep like a geological timeline, all the way back a good 4 decades down, toilet tank joke books, rusty joy buzzers, springy eyeball glasses, and gum wrapper gags, under the square box TVs that used to run suspender-wearing stand-ups in front of multicolored curtains from when people were folks. I had a whole variety show worth of impressions. Kermit the Frog, Jimmy Carter, Johnny Carson, Colonel Sanders, all with a little kid squeak up an octave like celebrities on helium. I'd honed my bits in front of my sisters at late Saturday night living room showcases. Classics like Old Man Walks Into Wall. I saw him across the classroom. A new kid with moppy hair. Dylan, funny hair, is he funny or just funny looking? The teacher walks in, 105 years old. He whistles. Well, yeah, he's funny all right. And like two star-crossed comedy nerds, we locked eyes, crossed eyes. And we'd be fast friends, faster than you can say, pull my finger. The last lapels shriveled and curled under as bell bottoms rang their final toll, and the popsicle twins broke the last straw on the censor's back and got the show gonged off the air. Chuck, embarrassed, faded into the distance like so many Sunday comics. Jean, the dancing machine, shuffled off into the sunset over the hump into the 1980s, and a sad meditative gong as they put up the brick walls behind the stand-ups. Show and tell, and not just any show and tell, the final show and tell before the break, right? The free-for-all, the no-holds-barred, bring your pet hamster in, display your yo-yo skills, pantomime the lyrics to Delta Dawn, or My Big Shot. A real live audience, 30 deep, with no easy-to-bust-up sisters, 5 solid minutes of my act, honed all in, right down to the best bits, polished to perfection, start my climb onto the Comedy Store Wall of Fame. I'm going to have to workshop it. Dylan, my best new buddy, Dylan, right, with the moppy hair. He's hilarious. He practically invented the wet willy. I'll workshop it for him. And after school, every day, all week, well, what if I tripped over my left foot instead? Dylan says, oh, that's definitely funnier. Good. That goes second then. And what's better? What's better, Jimmy Carter taking over Kentucky Fried Chicken or Colonel Sanders becoming president? I poured over every one of my tried-and-true tested sister routines and boiled them all down into a nice, tight 5. After this, I'd be tapped out, right? I'd have to work up a whole new act, but it'd be worth it. 30 kids. Dylan the whole time, my sounding board, gauging my progress by his snorts and giggles. That's it, he says. It's perfect. Don't change a thing. They'll have to shut down show and tell. I looked over the closet on the morning of the show. Funny. David Brenner with a nice wedding suit, or a Rip Taylor with my dad's oversized Hawaiian shirt and my sister's sunglasses. That's too much. Ooh, look at those. Rainbow suspenders. Now that's comedy. Down the hall into the class with a coat over the suspenders to save the reveal, head down the hallway through, all the way to my seat, running the lines, recounting the beats and rest and punchline and tag it. All right, let's do this. Oh, I'm second on the list. Perfect. Not too early, not too late. And Dylan, she calls him out. Dylan, would you like to start us off? I look up and I see him, that son of a... striding to the front of the room in an oversized Hawaiian shirt. And there he proceeded to do my entire act, start to finish. Colonel Sanders to Jimmy Carter. Back out, past the city limit, all the way up that garbage mountain, a few decades deep into the landfill, somewhere under a banana seat bicycle and an Atari cartridge. My rainbow suspenders hung up for good.
Set it up, man walks into a bar. Take a beat, really bangs up his arm. Hardy high, playing catch with the sun and shooting jacks with the stars when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter @ Parlor Songbook
And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air. And welcome back to American Parlor Songbook, recording here tonight at the KVCR studios in San Bernardino, California. Our next guest is an old friend. We're happy he's back on the program, a comedian and author from Los Angeles, California, here to tell us another charming tale, John Pate.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much. You guys, you sound like a great audience. And comics need great audiences because being a comic is a really hard job. My nephew, one time he asked me, he said, Uncle John, what's it like being a comedian? And I said, well, I'll give you an example. What's your favorite joke? And he said, okay. What did one ocean say to the other ocean? And I said, I don't know. What? And he says, nothing. They just wave. Now, that's a cute joke. And so what I did was I looked at him and I went, Now, he goes to school, and he tells that joke to his friends, and nobody laughed. And he came back to me, and he said, Uncle John, I went to school, and I told that joke, and nobody laughed. And I said, that's what it's like being a comic. With a pickaxe in one hand and a long-handled shovel in another, I ventured from the garage to my job site for the afternoon's work. You see, I was digging a hole in the yard next to our driveway. A noble profession for a 10-year-old boy. After all, that's what 10-year-old boys do. We dig holes, we climb trees, wrestle with dogs, and terrorize sisters. This particular hole was a fine effort, requiring several hours and lots of lemonade breaks to complete. I could stand and sip the cool nectar and look at my 2-foot-deep hole. And as the visitors would drive up and see the hole, I could take great pride in answering any and all hole digging related questions. But the Avon lady who sold cosmetics to my mom almost stumped me on this one afternoon. She stepped out of her car, she took one look, and she said, why are you digging that hole? Now, had I known the mountain climber's credo at the time, I would have certainly said, well, because it's there. But then if you stop to think about it, that's inaccurate because the hole is not there until you dig it. And why should that even matter anyway to a 10-year-old boy trying to do his job? So I simply looked rather puzzled at her and I said, well, it's a hole. I mean, doesn't she realize how odd of a question that was? Sometimes you just have to overlook grown-up silly statements. I'm even reminded of a college roommate who continually looked silly by blurting out, I'll get it, every few days in the dormitory hallway. We finally asked why he did that, and his reasoning was equally as odd. He stated that eventually he would shout, I'll get it, and the telephone in the hallway would ring immediately afterward, and on that day, he would look like a genius. Of course, we all thought, yeah, but until then, you're going to look like a doofus. Why would a person continually want to look foolish for so long just for one single moment of genius? Wouldn't it be better to live a life that is more calm, investing your time in more profitable endeavors? Even I had learned after digging enough holes at an early age that adults can do better. Case in point, my parents. If you ask anyone in our small community of Sandrock, Alabama, my parents invested in the long-term treasures of life, and therefore were probably the wealthiest people I knew. Not in money, but in friendships and loving affections from those who genuinely knew what they were all about. You can't put a price on that. My dad was known for sitting up all night at the hospital with at least half the families in our community, or driving somebody to the doctor when they couldn't drive themselves. And if he wasn't teaching your kids in high school, he was cleaning bees out of your barn or helping in some other way. And my mom was on par with the same work ethic. There are probably thousands of families who in our area received a cake or a pie over the 96 years that she was alive. She would volunteer to help with the 4-H club and at church and in any way she could, and she was happy to do it. But there was one particular occasion that I remember that exemplified their behavior the best. Several years back, I had a quick trip that I had to make to Nashville, Tennessee, for a meeting with a show business colleague from the television network there, and I asked my parents to travel along with me to see his house. He was a rather successful country star, and he owned a mansion that neighbored Johnny Cash on one side and one of the Oak Ridge Boys on the other. Well, before we left, my mom and dad were both out in the garden, and they were gathering several bags of bean and corn and cucumbers and squash to take with us. In my wildest dreams, I had never thought of doing such a thing. But my parents' reasoning was, hey, country stars got to eat too. And believe me, the offering was well received. This particular celebrity's wife was so grateful for the kind gift, they all chatted up a storm as she guided my parents around the mansion. And I went about my business meeting. As we drove back through Nashville afterward, I began to think about all such things my parents had done for both our family and others, and I was very proud. In the good times, and in the bad, the smiles and the struggles, they have remained consistent. And that was their joy, to help people in life. As we approached the Gaylord Productions and the network studios, my mom asked me to point out which building it was that I worked in. And I had a great idea. I took the studio exit. I swung the car into the parking lot and gave my name at the gate, and was waved through by a security guard that I knew. And this, I might add, impressed both parents with my ability to access the lot and even park next to Porter Wagner's parking space. I walked him through the network offices and out the side door, down the hallway, and then to the backstage area of the Grand Ole Opry. There was a tour group there helping to be guided all the way through, and the tour guide was giving them a little bit of history, and we stood there long enough to hear some music facts. And then after they had left, I walked my parents out to the Grand Ole Opry stage. My dad was a little bit hesitant, but I assured him that it was okay. I took him to the center of the stage and had them stand on that small circle of old cutout boards from the original Grand Ole Opry stage in the Ryman Auditorium. And then I stepped back for a moment and watched them as they looked out into the empty seats. There they were. My parents, standing where Hank Williams and Minnie Pearl and Roy Acuff and Elvis all stood. Oh, they had been in the audiences before, but now they were center stage. The two people who taught me how to do things right were enjoying a small moment in the spotlight, and a little bit of a return on their investment. They never asked for anything and thoroughly enjoyed each and every opportunity that they were given. Yes, more than silver and gold, my parents held the key to true treasures in life. They knew the only real investment. They invested in people. And as a result, their legacy will be hard to beat. Thank you, God, and good evening.
John Cape. We have about enough time for one more song from Lawrence and Claire.
Thank you.
shining angel, the perfect body, down by the highway, say. Well, I caught those rounders, then I give them hell, my price to pay. Now let the judge decide. Mississippi moonlight on Judgment Day, Louisiana chain gang, my dues to pay. I've crossed my heart, Lord, and I pray today. Now life stands still beneath the full moon. Myself to fail, and I'll love you still in my eternal sleep. 99 years in the Baton Rouge pen, I work the dusty old highways from end to end. Now would I change it all? Freedom's nothing since my darling's gone. Mississippi moonlight on Judgment Day, Louisiana chain gang, my dues to pay. Well, I've crossed my heart, Lord, and I pray to
that's our show. Thanks for joining us here at KVCR to our guests Lawrence and Claire and, of course, John Pate. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR and available on PRX. You can find information about the program on our website.
Wendell.
Yes, Mother, what is it? I'm trying to sleep.
What's funnier, these suspenders, this blazer, or both?
I don't know. I haven't heard their act yet.
No, not them. Me. Which is funnier looking?
Well, you are. Now, good night.
Ha, 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 ha. You leave the jokes to me. I'm a professional.
A professional what?
Comedian.
Since when?
Since earlier tonight when I killed at that party.
Oh, you must mean your little speech at Marvin Crandall's wake.
I was hilarious.
You bombed.
No, I was bombed. And I still killed.
Yes, almost, but thankfully Mrs. Crandall's condition has stabilized.
Well, it's not my fault she can't handle a good joke.
You opened with, now that Marvin Crandall is gone, not much has changed, he was always a stiff.
That is solid gold.
She started to hyperventilate, so you followed with, oh look, Mrs. Crandall is breathing heavy, first time since before she married Marvin.
See, that is hysterical.
No, it's not the right setting for a roast, Martha.
The invitation said, a light-hearted celebration of Marvin Crandall's life.
So you celebrated with a puppet show?
Well, I didn't want to leave the children out.
Using the deceased?
A real comic uses their surrounding. It's all about improvising.
Improvising. I don't know. You seem to have rehearsed that parody song to the tune of My Way.
Regrets. He had a lot. And may I say, his wife was tubby.
Oh. Being a comedian isn't just shooting down whoever is the most vulnerable.
No, it's my style. I go right for the juggler.
You mean jugular?
No, you go for the juggler. Nobody likes a boring juggling act.
Jugular, jugular by the voice box.
No, it's the mimes that don't talk. You go for the juggler, trust me. Do you see these shoulder pads in this blazer? I am a professional, Wendell.
Well, we'll agree to disagree.
No.
So at your age, at your advanced age, might I add, you're going to suddenly launch into a career as a stand-up comedian.
I could do stand-up sitting down.
And standing on your head and writhing around on the floor.
Everyone knows that nothing is funnier than an old lady being inappropriate.
How about a nice anecdote or some clever wordplay?
And it's boring.
Well, there's more to humor than bodily functions and insults, Martha.
No, I know. There's slapstick and profanity and there's racial stereotypes.
Well, call me old-fashioned, but I prefer a witty recitation.
All right, fine. There once was a girl from Madras.
No. Something with charm, subtle irony, and amusing entendre.
No, I'll never get a Netflix special like that.
Try Class. That would bring in the real ratings.
Oh, you old fool, Wendell. Look me in the eyes and tell me I don't make you laugh.
Well, the occasional chuckle, maybe.
Oh, come on now. Remember dinner when I introduced the potato to Mr. Nussbaum? You nearly shot wine out of your nose.
All right, maybe a giggle, I don't know.
Oh, and remember when I switched Mrs. Johnson's wig for Mr. Connor's toupee?
Well, they did look a little ridiculous.
And when I announced the ham dead on arrival?
All right, I snickered, maybe.
Snickered? Oh, please, that was a full-blown gut-busting.
Okay, so you have your moments, but you take it too far, and then, well, I'm left covering up for you.
You are aware that that's part of the routine, aren't you?
What is?
You getting upset by it. It's hilarious. I go off the deep end and you chase me around trying to rein it in.
Wait, so I'm the straight man?
Yes. The more upset you get, the funnier it is.
I suppose that is our method, isn't it? You're chaos and, well, I guess I'm order.
Hey, that's not a bad idea.
What?
Well, we do make a heck of a team.
Uh-huh.
So why don't we cash in on it?
Wait, you mean a double act?
Yes, why not? It worked for George and Gracie.
No, me on the piano.
Yes, and me in a fabulous dress.
A little sketch.
A burlesque number.
Some witty banter.
Oh, a good sight gag.
No, you go too far, though.
And you chase me around the piano.
No, I think you might be onto something, Martha.
Oh, Wendell, put this bow tie on and I'll put the coffee on.
Oh, all right, dear, settle down, it's late.
Wendell, we are creatures of the night, we comedians.
But it's almost morning.
Okay, all right. But first thing, we're getting out the old typewriter.
Yes, dear, yes. Let's get some rest. We're going to want to be sharp to put together a good act.
All right, we'll get some rest. But one more thing.
What's that?
Do you know what would be the perfect ending to our act?
A dance routine?
No, dear. I lean against the piano. We have a sweet back and forth. The lights dim, and you sing me my lullaby.
Yes, Martha. That's perfect.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. All your fears run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way. On pinholed skies, the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say, though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night. Good night.